When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Punters Mate on SEN.
We are back. We are back for the Punters Mate. It's 2024, the 12th of January 2024. We are heading into a massive day of racing at the Gold Coast tomorrow with Magic Millions. And I'm pleased to say Sammy Highland has made it back from his trek down south. Sammy, how was it? How was your Christmas? We want to find out all about those basketball jerseys, but first of all, how did it all go?
Chris, it was so good. Just a good thing to do. And I guess, when we left, I was doing it on our own because we always follow Ben and Karen normally with the caravan, but this time we were doing it on our own and heading down south to Melbourne for Christmas. And look... I reckon I only had a couple of misdemeanors. When we were leaving Budgerowai, just outside Sydney, we left at 5:30 in the morning. It was a bit rough, the joint, where we were at. And so we thought we'd get up and get moving early. And I ripped half of the guard off. And then, Nicole said I was going too fast and I was rushing. And you always think you're in a race. And so I was copping that serve for half an hour. And then when we got to Pheasant's Nest on the other side of Sydney, we had breakfast. And I came out and I went, you wouldn't believe it. I've obviously, not only have I ripped the guard off, but I've ripped the tap off this caravan. Ooh. You know, where you connect the water to. And so it's an essential thing on the caravan. And so then get on to a few people. Go to Canberra Caravan Supplies to get one piece, who then sends us to Reece Plumbing to get another piece, who then sends us to Bunnings to get another piece. And then we get to Marimbula and we had a, thank God, we had a thank you to Whitey, who organised his man to put it all together and so we could get water going on. But, you know, everything that we went through, I was like, you know, we spent 2 hours in Canberra getting these parts and whatever, and you're dragging caravan with three kids
and a wife,
pouring rain and a wife that's telling you you're driving too fast, you know, like it was. Oh, so that was, that was a low point that day. But I tell you what, there was so much good fun. The kids had a ball and it was, great to have Christmas with my family. And Dad was in great form. He spent all day with us on Christmas Day. And he just had a ball with the kids. And so it was, it was just really good fun. The weather was not ideal. We had 6 days in Byron Bay coming back. And I reckon it rained every day.
Yeah, well, it's been like that up here.
Yeah, it's just been rough, hasn't it?
It has. And we were expecting a long, dry summer, but that hasn't eventuated, and now we just seem to be getting rain every day. Now, Cohen, button pusher extraordinaire, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. It sounds a bit like Sammy was this bloke.
Oof. G'day, I'm Russell Coit, and this is my backyard, the Aussie Outback.
I reckon you're right too.
Well, I did say to Fit Knickers that... you know, I think we can do Australia now. I think we can do a lap around Australia. And she's going, what, without Ben? Do you think, like, Ben Wright is the Russell Coit of the caravanning world. And so, anyway, but, you know, we've put it out there and I reckon, I must touch on, because it's been a bit of a theme on Punters Mate, but the jerseys were a huge hit. And so they should be because they, there was a lot that went into them as well as the coin. But it was very funny, very funny. And thank you so much to Luke Longley because Nicole rang him and all the kids Will and his cousins all got to speak to Luke and thank him for their signed jerseys and They were over the moon. So it was a big buzz when we got to Hamilton.
I'm a bit worried. If you're going to do a trip around Australia, well, who am I doing this show with?
No, I'm going to get Starlink. Apparently you get Starlink, right? It's internet you can get everywhere because I did trackside from Port Ferry.
Yeah.
And Tags got left on his own for the last hour because he couldn't get served. The more people coming into town, Chriso.
Yep. The more they use the actual.
The last hour of trackside was
just not, Tags on his own.
Yes.
And oh, jeez, he would have blown up deluxe.
He did. But so the next day I did trackside, I went into Warrnambool, and thank you to Shane McKinnon, who let me use his lounge room, and I did trackside from there. But, yeah, it's amazing, you know. The Wi-Fi and internet, is quite poor, you know. It's not great, the service. And then JJ, only yesterday, Cam, Luke and I were on trackside. And Cam Luke had to go down and do a show. So it was only me and Courtney on for the last hour because JJ was going to do trackside from, his show from Pakenham because he was working at Pakenham last night. And he said the internet couldn't get good coverage. And I mean, that's Pakenham.
Was Courtney on air?
Yes.
Great. Excellent. Courtney and me. She's good to talk to, so that's excellent.
Courtney and I were on air for the last hour. So awesome. It was, yeah, she was great.
Yeah, fantastic. She is. Now, did you want to add something to that, Cohen?
I just think with all the effort and all the money spent that Sammy should have one of his own.
One what of his own?
Basketball jersey.
Yep.
Well, you're probably right, actually.
Surely.
So I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something.
He doesn't want to buy
this. This is a bit overkill, right? It's just on the basketball theme, right? Three pairs of Jordans.
What, shoes?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm going.
They're cheap too.
I'm going. So, and Cam Luke he famously has this big collection of Nike shoes, right? And I sent him a picture and said, is this how it starts? And he goes, you're gone now. This is it. This is how it starts. And so Will's telling me just last night, and he's going, I want to go to Chermside and have a look at a new pair of Jordans. I said, mate, you got three. You got three pairs. I don't understand.
Cam was right. It started.
Whoa. Hey.
Oh, wow.
And how was your Christmas New Year, Cohen?
Yeah, pretty good, boys. Good. Besides being blown away, it was all right. Right. There's a bit of storms on the Gold Coast if you boys weren't across that.
Yeah. You don't live up at Mount Tambourine, I hope, because that was devastated.
My mum does. So,
Is she all right?
Yeah, she's all right. The community getting around each other up there, so it's good to see. But
Once in a week.
There was a lot of carnage, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There was
a tornado went through there, wasn't it?
There's one street on the northern side, and you couldn't even get through. There was just trees everywhere, roofs off houses and things like that. So... yeah, a bit of a disaster zone up there, but Mum was in a good spot, so she got lucky.
It's interesting. Like some places, the roof can be blown off a house or a house can be knocked to the ground and next door the one's still standing. Has that got to do with who built the house?
I would have thought so.
Better company versus a company that might have taken a few shortcuts?
I think where the houses are, right on the edge of the mountain, so that's where the wind would be the strongest.
Like the house made of bricks versus the house made of straw.
As long as Sammy's caravan's not made of straw, he'll be right.
Pick it up and blown away, and all those jerseys to go with it. All right, now it's all about the Magic Millions. Massive day of racing, of course, on the Gold Coast tomorrow. We had the barrier draw during the week. Good crowd down there, as there always is at the Gold Coast Surfers Paradise on the Tuesday morning. I cannot tell you how hot it was down there, guys. It was absolutely stifling.
Sweating up. You were beating up.
I was sweating up. I was. And I'm not one to sweat, but that 20-minute walk to get there really finished me off. By the time I got there, I was just I'd have a sweat up more than, I don't know, I'll think of something. Maybe I shouldn't say. I was thinking of something, but I'm not going to say it. Let's just say I was sweating up. Sales results have been really good. I think with the sale topper is, to date, $2.1 million, Sammy. It's a money. Where does all this money come from? Cost of living issues, electricity bills through the roof, yet people spend money on horses.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? It's a great thing for our sport and a great thing for the industry, isn't it, overall, that that, you know, the because we've been through COVID and everybody was expecting that, you know, there was going to be drama and people weren't going to be spending like they used to and whatever. But it's held up, hasn't it?
It does every year. It just seems to get bigger and bigger.
You know, it's it's a lot of good horses come out of there, and there's a lot of horses overall, isn't there? It's a big business, the breeding industry, and this week is it's the grand final for Queensland, isn't it? Up here in the summer carnival.
It is. Now, you might not know this, Sammy, but a lot of our regular listeners will not be tuning in today.
Why?
Because they'll all be at the annual Northcliffe event on the Gold Coast. There's a gentleman on Twitter by the name of Justin Gorrie, known as Fats.
Gorrie. Yes.
He organises an event at Northcliffe every year, and the numbers have just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So all our listeners will probably be down there enjoying a brewski or two at the moment while we're still working. But they can always listen to the podcast if they're in any state to do so later on tonight. Now, today's guest, Tony Gollum. We'll chat to Tony. He's got some good chances, obviously, tomorrow. Zarastro's drawn a horror gate. Be good to get his thoughts on, Zarastro's going forward. There's no doubt about that. And he's been pretty active in the sales, as Tony, Sam.
And so he should be. He's the leading trainer up here. He's a jet, Tony, and he's so good to us, isn't he? We often get him on the show. And I'd like to ask him about the Black Soil Bloodstock Group. You know, they're big supporters of him. He's had a lot of luck for them. And, I think they're really tight, all those boys, with Tony Golan. I think
Tony went to school with the main Black Soil guy, right. Brian Simpson, who we had on one of the shows once, going back a few years ago.
Okay, yeah, and he's they're doing a super job, aren't they?
They've
got nice horses and they get winners.
Yeah, he's a big player these days, Tony Golan. He really has come a long way. Won the last 10 Brisbane premierships, of course, and well on his way to making it number 11. We'll chat to Ian Brown. I think we will. Ian Brown's the racing manager, the Gold Coast Turf Club. Just going to have a chat to him about what's on there tomorrow. The Calcutta, of course, was held last night. We're going to have a chat about that as well. So looking forward to a special Magic Millions Day edition. Magic Millions edition of the Punters, mate. No Gibbo today, though, Sammy. He's off playing golf.
Is he?
Yes, he's gone to a golf day, so he couldn't join
us. Well, it'd be a big week for Gibbo. I mean, he's like the mayor of the Gold Coast.
He is.
So.
He's the Tom Tate equivalent.
So he would have his hands full this week.
He would. So
and so he should.
So he's maybe just rounding out the week with just a leisurely game of golf down there at Lakelands, I think he was playing at today with a few others. So
good
luck to Gibbo. Now, racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. And I can tell you, Sammy, we didn't race today at Home Hill. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we lost that meeting,
off, but it is. But it's next week,
yep,
is it?
Next Wednesday. The meeting will be next Wednesday. Now, not a lot of meetings tomorrow. Obviously, all eyes on the Gold Coast. We've also got a meeting at Ipswich. We race at Atherton and Thangool, and then we're back to the Sunshine Coast on Sunday. And then a busy start to next week. Warwick on Monday and Tuesday at Rockhampton. Sammy, I just could not let this go by. It's been, 4 weeks since you've been on the show and we've been able to rip into a talking point. And I just love the fact that this came up during the week. Earpods for the jockeys on the way to the barriers on the Gold Coast tomorrow. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Here we go.
Now,
you got a minute.
We know that I can rant and I can jump up and down and throw the toys out of the cot on different occasions. And normally when horses get beat like old Newmarket did yesterday at Panola. But I tell you what. You know what? Let's keep it classy. Let's not get tacky. What on earth is this bringing to the table? Can somebody tell me what on earth this is going to bring to the table? Do you know what? I actually used to do a gig back in the day and riding the ponies, right?
Yes, I remember that.
And do horseback interviews
before
and after the race. And I don't know what happened to them. They just, I got hunted from from racing.com. But they carried on, and now they just stopped. Now they've all stopped. Now we want to put ear pods in jockeys going to the barriers. Do you know, I'll tell you, what on earth are they going to say? Oh, this cantered well to the barriers.
Pretty much.
It's just noise. It's noise that brings nothing to the table, right? So get
really
out
should
of
be
town.
Scratched.
What is anybody going to say? I mean, you know what I mean? What does it do? How does it create? I don't understand. It is just
bringing stuff. Not really needed, is it?
It's bringing stuff up just for the sake of it. It's just noise.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I know we need innovation in the sport, but I don't. I'm a bit with you. I mean, I'm not against innovation and ideas and new ideas, but yeah. Look, we'll watch it tomorrow and we'll find out, but I'm sure that
Jock
is going to say,
I can't wait.
This horse galloped well to the gates.
Beautifully to the gates, and yeah. I've been told to ride it like this, and then it jumps out and misses a start, and then they go, oh, what happened?
That's interesting. I mean, do you think that the jockeys will say how they've been instructed to ride a horse?
Well, no, I don't think they will.
I wouldn't think so either.
Because I know how easily different things can happen in a race. You know what I mean?
But could that be misleading too?
Then it falls back on them. You know, people are going, don't know the full story. I don't know how to read the race or read what happens. And so they get round behind the barriers and they go, listen, they've told us to sit one out, one back. And then everyone drives up inside you and you sat midfield four deep facing the breeze and then chasing all the way. And then the person at home watching on the telly goes, well, he just told me he was going to be one out, one back.
Well, that's what I'm just saying.
And he was five wide facing the breeze.
So is the jockey at fault then?
So this is
so
the...
That's interesting, though. I'll have to watch closely tomorrow.
These are the areas that it's unnecessary, Chris. For all the positives, which I don't even find one, right? I can see negatives coming out in this.
That's interesting.
And so it's just... You know what? You don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? It is what it is. I know you want to bring up new ideas and all this, but let's sit back and go, okay, how is this going to make it any better? It's like the whole numbers situation with racing tracks, right? All it's done is confuse people even more and give people more of a reason to gripe. No, it's not a six, it's a four, and it's this and it's that. It's you know what? It hasn't brought anything to the table. So
you know what? We've got Tony Gollan coming up. We'll ask him what he thinks. I know he's not a jockey, but we'll just ask him what he thinks.
Yeah.
Firelight alongside Royal Interest giving something. Infatuation in the rail. Skirt the Law. Pulled to the centre of the track. Chiming in. Miss Kuta Wada. Then came Empire of Japan. Skirt the Law. Skirt the Law. The Queensland filly dashed to the lead. Platinum Jubilee rolled to second. But it's too late, sister, because Skirt the Law will win for the Tony Gollan Sable and beat Platinum Jubilee.
Of course, Sammy, that was Skirt the Law winning the Magic Millions. Two-year-old classic last year. Now, I was at the Carbine Club lunch on Monday. And Tony Gollan was one of the guests. He was sitting up the very front. And I was sitting like they've got a little table organised near the back door. That's where I was.
He was in 1A and you were in 48D.
I was out right down the back past the wing, out in the tail of the actual thing. But look, Tony did say that he could listen to that replay or watch that replay of Skirt the Law winning every day for the rest of his life. And I can understand that. Tony, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, you're totally right, Chris. I could listen to that replay forever and a day, and it's just unfortunate I haven't got a runner in the race this year, but it was certainly one of the prouder moments I've had in my training career. It's something I feel really proud that I was able to achieve as a stable. I think we all were. It was an odd week that week with the races being called off and put back on, and just made the pressure go on for a few more days. But it's something we at Gollan Racing got a huge thrill out of, and we're very proud of that achievement.
Just on Skirt the Law, I know she's injured and she's in the paddock, but hopefully everything's okay there. And if it is, where are you heading with her this year?
Winning Carnival with her, mate. I was happy to give her a good break. Just a little bit of minor surgery, the tiniest of chips, and just let everything settle down. A bit of bone bruising she had there, which young horses get. It's very busy, these two-year-olds. You don't get a lot of break with them. And sometimes you just got to pull back and reset. And I'm really comfortable with the fact that we've done that. And I think for doing that, we're going to have a really nice filly this winter.
Tony, the Black Soil Bloodstock team, you have a great association with them. Can you give us a bit of an insight into how that all came about? And it's been a fantastic journey. I know I'm friends just through school, Steve and Sasha Morris, and I know they've been in a few horses and that I've followed just because they're in them and they've had some luck and they just love it. And it's been a great journey that you've all experienced with that team, Black Soil Bloodstock.
Yeah, it's been awesome. So Brian and I have been mates since, I think I was about 15, 16, something like that. And Sammy, I can tell you that wasn't yesterday. So we've been friends a long time. We raced shares and horses together with my dad right at the start. I think I was 17 years old, something like that, when it first won. And then Brian's always sort of had a horse with me. And Brian Simpson's the man I refer to, and he's the main guy with Black Soil. And all of a sudden, it just got a bit more serious, I guess, when Spirit of Boom, he was in Spirit of Boom and Temple of Boom, when Spirit went to stud, you know, to get a few broodmares around to sort of go to him. And then with Harry McAlpine, this developed an idea to, you know, buy some really nice fillies with the idea to race and with other like-minded people, then possibly the breed or sell or whatnot, and just have a whole, you know, whole evolution of it sort of thing. And it just kept snowballing, and we'd run into a lot of different like-minded people that wanted to race nice quality horses. And it didn't hurt the fact that, I think, as soon as we changed the colours over and things just started to flow, and we've had great success under the Black Soil banner, and we just have a ton of fun while we're doing it. So Black Soil was basically an initiative that just kept on evolving, and now he's breeding nice horses, we're racing nice horses, and we're hopefully still buying nice horses.
Now, Tony, you've been very active at the sales. One particular purchase, the I Am Invincible Outback Barbie, purchased by yourself and Jennifer Acton, very sentimental purchase, that one.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, Al bought Outback Barbie. It's quite a funny story. He actually outbid myself and Brian on Outback Barbie when he bought it. We were bidding out the back and Al was bidding at the front. So that's how Al used to do things, really on his own way. And then I ended up getting it a train anyway, which was great. And then he did the mating when he retired. He sent it to Yarraman, put it on I'm Invincible. And I've seen this file, photos of her and videos of her since she was a baby, and she's been a beautiful horse all the way through. Obviously, it was tragic, the passing of Alan. But it was so good that Jennifer and the team were really keen to be involved in this filly, and that allowed us to go that extra mile to pay that $1.2 million for what is one of the best I'm Invincible fillies, if not one of the best fillies here at this sale.
You've been a big player. From what I can see here, you've purchased 12 lots. Is that right?
I'm not sure. A lot of count, but there's been a lot, and we've bought them in all different price points. And
yeah.
You know, we're trying to find something for all of our clients and most importantly, the horses we like. So, you know, whether we paid $130 or we paid $1.2 million, we still like the horse. So, and that's important. John Foote, my agent, does an amazing job. He does all the groundwork, and I just get to go in there and put my hand up and then try and put them around to the people who suit. You know, we've got a big ownership base. Not everyone can afford a $1.2 million horse, but a lot of people with their friends and family can get involved in horses up to $200,000 now with syndicates and small shares, etc. So we try and find nice horses in all the brackets, and who knows, hopefully we can be back here having a go at this Magic Millions next year.
You mentioned John Foote. I saw some stats during the week of purchases that he's made. His record is outstanding. His strike rate is through the roof compared to basically everybody else.
Oh, he's great, John. He doesn't get caught up in the hype of sales and the fashion sort of thing. You know, everyone's, you know, you get all the people there bidding on these very fashionable horses, et cetera, and obvious horses. But John's really good at finding the needle in the haystack. When I look for a bloodstock agent, there was two names that kept coming back to me, and one was Vin Cox and one was John Foote. And Vin went to Magic Means at the time, and John, I made a phone call to John, and he was happy to do my work, and we started off slow, and we've built a great team. And, you know, I wouldn't be having the success I'm having if it wasn't for John Foote's influence on my business, that's for sure. I think no one out there that I know says a bad word about John, the way that he goes about his business. He's a man of high integrity, for starters, and he's got a fantastic eye for a horse. You see these nice horses of ours step out with these good actions. That's all John Foote.
And I think the other thing that is so great, or John Foote is one of his biggest qualities, is the fact that he doesn't have to pay huge money for horses. Like he's all about paying the right money for the right horses, as you say. And we see that time and time again, not only with your horses, but with horses that John Foote buys overall for people all over the world.
Absolutely. I remember one of the first times we had, we give him, I think it was $200,000 or something like that, to buy us a horse in New Zealand, and he gave me $80,000 change. Like most livestock agents would ask for an extra 50.
How good's that?
But he doesn't. It's like he's spending his own money, and he's very careful with price points and whatnot, and he's realistic. I remember the very first year or second year, because I'm always a bit keen and a bit eager, you know, to get the horse and this and that. And he said, "Listen, we want to be here doing this in 20 years' time. We don't want to be here for 1 year. We got to do it right." And he's drummed that into me right from the get-go. So we never buy horses on a whim. We buy the horses that we like, and we really try and buy them at the right price point, so that people can enjoy racing, and we try and keep everything affordable as we can.
Tony, just changing tack a little bit. There is a new innovation this Saturday with the jockeys. We're going to put earpods in their ears, going to the barriers, and they're going to tell us. I don't know what they're going to tell us when they get behind the barriers, but. I just said I can often get on a rant on this show on Talking Point with Chris Nelson, and I just thought it's important to have new ideas, but it's important not to get tacky. And I just myself, I don't see what this is going to bring to the table.
Sam, you'd have a better idea about this than me. I mean, you're a jockey. I'm just a trainer. I sometimes wish they had earpods in their ears during the run. I could just yell some things at them, but they'd probably not, they wouldn't want them. They wouldn't want an earpod with me talking to them in a race. I know that. They're doing their job. I don't know really what it brings either, to be honest. I think, like, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to put them in State of Origin players' ears when they run out, you know, when they're about, you know, a couple of minutes before kickoff. You know, is that where we're at next in football and things like that? I don't think so. I think that's that time when the rider's on his horse and he's going to the gates. He wants to be in touch with his horse and have a good feel for him, and he's running through the race, and that's when they feel, I think, the jockeys, what I hear, they feel their most relaxed, Sam. You can correct me if I'm wrong. When they get on that horse and they start to canter off, they don't want something chirping in their ear and listening to, worrying about what they're going to say because the media's out there listening. I personally don't like it. I think let the jockey and horse have their time to bond prior to the race and get out of their ear.
I'd prefer if they put them... We could hear what the trainers say during the race and then what the trainers say as the jockey's coming back to scale. That'd be more exciting, especially with you, Tony.
It'd be no good. Sometimes no good, you know, sometimes no good. And my jockeys would probably definitely agree. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we all have a role to do, and I think we should be able to run that part of our businesses and lives and part of this profession, which, you know, it's high pressure all the time, right, at races when... Yeah, you're winning and losing. I think we're entitled to a little bit of privacy in that department.
Now, I just want to ask you, we won't hold you up any longer, about one of your horses tomorrow, of course, is Zarastro, who's flying. He's drawn the wide gate. Obviously, you're going to go forward. How's he progressing?
Yeah, really well. He's progressed really well. You'd remember some time ago, I backed off him fairly well, giving him 6 or 7 weeks between runs when he got beat then. It was all that was designed to get him here to this race day. We've obviously had a spring and then into this, and I've ticked him along. And you would see I've spaced his runs majority of the time. I think I've been a fortnight between runs once with him when he was dominant at Doomben. I went back in trip to 1200 at Eagle Farm to try and keep some speed in his legs for this 1400 here, and we're 3 weeks into this. I think for a preparation that's evolved during the spring, I think I couldn't get him here in any better shape. He'll certainly roll forward from his gate, and I never worry. I don't have sleepless nights worrying about wide draws on go-forward horses at the 1400 here, Eagle Farm, 1350 at Doomben. I don't panic about these wide gates.
Yep, fair enough too. We wish you all the best tomorrow on Magic Millions Day, Tony. We are speaking to you on Friday morning. I know there's a few showers hanging around. What's it like there at the moment?
Yeah, it's awful. There's no sun. The sun's just trying to peek through. It's just showery weather. I noticed that track's a soft five. I did see the wind was meant to pick up, and as I look now, this wind is starting to get up here, which is what we want. We want a nice windy day, blow these showers away, keep this track at a soft 5-6 or better. And if we do that, I think it's going to have an absolute bumper day's racing tomorrow.
All right, Tony, thanks for joining us. All the best, as I said, for tomorrow, and we look forward to chatting to you in a few weeks' time.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Thanks. Tony Golan joining us there, Sammy, as he regularly does, and may not have a runner in the two-year-old or the three-year-old tomorrow, but I tell you what, you certainly got some winning chances there.
Yeah, Situation Room is going to be he's an interesting horse, that horse. I don't mind him. Bazique is another that looks to be a good hope. There's some really nice chances. Buller, he can
reel off a sexual. He sexual, can run a race. Sectional. He can reel off a sexual. He can reel off a sectional, Ken Baller. Now, let's go for a break. Cohen, if you got this audio on standby, this is my favourite Magic Millions, Sammy. This is where it all began.
Last of all, at the 600, the Gold Coast Colt snippets in front, going easily, a length roses for us, Lord Lockton on the outside, boasting, going up quickly, Prince Anton in a little bit of trouble from Mother Duck, and a Daniella Crown, Hope Poetic Sound, and further back as I'm ready, around the home turn, snippets the inside, and boasting, they led together, about two on Mother Duck, he's gone to third from roses for us, and a Daniella Prince Anton, and I'm ready, at the 200, snippets the leader, he's beaten off, boasting, Mother Duck on the outside, moves to second, coming out after Snippets, but Snippets is going great guns, 100 to go, he's got them stitched, and Snippets is driving away in the run of the post, it'll win easily. Snippets first, Prince Anton, Fluent got second, and it's tight for third between I'm Ready and Mother Duck.
This is the Punter's Mate on SEN.
Sammy, time for Sausage of the Week. Now, I'm thinking that while you've been away all this time, you're probably more in tune with cooking sausages than actually looking for them on the racetrack.
Exactly. So I made my own chavapchichis.
Did you? What are they called?
Chavapchichis.
Is that right, Cohen? There seems to be a few extra letters.
Chavapchichi. Yeah, that's what they're called.
Is that a different sort of chavapchichi? What are they?
They're a...
I know what they are. They're nice. They're tasty.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very good. And I'll tell you where I drove to. I drove to, like, Browns Plains or somewhere to go get them.
They must be good.
Oh, they were good. They were good. Then get the meat. And then I followed the recipe and made...
Oh, you made them?
Yeah, I made them. And I can't cook. Well, I can make toasted sandwiches, Chris. Mm-hmm. Gee whiz.
Burn the bread?
Even Fit Nickers was impressed.
Very good. You can bring some of those in any time you like. Now, Sausage of the Week for me, Kettle Hill. This is right up there with sausages.
Kettle.
Yeah, well, we know he came from overseas, put up a big run at his first ever start, then went off the ball. Then he did win a race at Moonee Valley, two starts back, and then he's back to his brilliant best last week at Randwick running last. So Kettle Hill. I tell you what, we've put some horses lately in the sausage file. They haven't won. Scalapini, I put in. Remember, I put Scalapini
yes,
in?
Yes.
Was retired after this next start.
Has he retired?
Yep. Yeah. So they were listening.
So he's gone to the sausage.
Good to see
factory.
The proven thoroughbreds team listened in. He'll go and be a show jumping horse, I would say, Sammy. Now, have you got anything I said you other than your chevachichis?
No, I don't think. It's
okay.
I don't think they'd be. I'll give a shout out to. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to. I'm just.
All right. No cash for comment?
No, I'm just... I got up and about on Thursday when I backed one at Panola, but I've just got to move on. I've just got to move
you
on.
You can't change the
from
past.
From that $15 horse that should have won by a length.
Yeah, well.
Hey, boys.
Yeah.
Just
you got one?
Got something for you. Apparently this is how you pronounce a sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Cubensis.
What?
I wouldn't have gone down that path, but it's nowhere near what you
Cubensis.
Said.
Cubensis.
Chavensis. That's not right.
It's chavapchichi.
It's not.
It is.
Isn't it just chavaps?
No, it's chavapchichi.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to do some research on that. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Sammy, Ian Brown from the Gold Coast Turf Club, the racing manager, is going to join us now. And he's got some very different information for us this week, not to do with the actual, well, a little bit more off course than on course. So, Brownie, good morning to you.
Morning, fellas. That's exactly where you specialise, isn't it? Off course, not on course.
So. Too many people on course for me these days. I see more off course. Not saying there's anything against, nothing against being on course. The atmosphere is really good, but when you've got to turn up on shows the next day and give a bit of a review, it's easier to watch them on TV. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I completely understand. Unfortunately, I've got to be on course more than I can be off course, so I understand where you're coming from.
No, I totally understand that. Now we're going to have a chat about what's involved in Magic Millions Day. First of all, I know this is weather dependent, and I know we're talking to you this morning. We know there's been some rain this morning, not too much of it. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 24, 36 hours. But how many people do you think, with good weather, will be on course tomorrow?
Look, based off what our pre-sales are at, it's where we've been in previous years. So we'd be expecting in excess of 20,000 people on course. But obviously, that's just going to be dependent on the weather. So there's a forecast for a small amount of rain, which indicates that it's going to fall overnight or in the morning. So that may impact those numbers. But if that doesn't come, then we'd expect there to be in excess of 20,000 people on course tomorrow.
Now, you must be over the moon with the way the tracks play. We've had two meetings on the new grass track. The drainage system must be phenomenal after all the rain that's the Gold Coast has copped over the last 7 to 14 days, etc. It's just played so well. And look, if we don't get too much more rain, we'd pretty much be back to a good track, you'd think.
Yeah, that's what we're hopeful of. But look, it's been a lot of hard work to get to where we are, but the way the track played last Saturday on Aquas Wave Day, we were really happy with. I think the winners came from all over the park. They ran some good times. We're at a soft five this morning. We only had a mil in those showers this morning, so that won't impact that track rating. And as I said, with a forecast for maybe a couple more mils overnight or in the morning, I think we should be on a good four tomorrow.
Brownie, what was the feedback from the jockeys? Have they all been happy with how the track feels?
Look, as happy as jockeys can be, Sammy, but no, universally it's been positive across the board. The one piece of feedback that they have all said is how impressed they are with the new cambers, the 4% on each of the turns. A lot of them have commented that you don't even have to steer the horses around the turns now, that the camber just guides them around, and you know they remain balanced, and so when they're straight and they're ready to accelerate. They've been very complimentary, the cambers. So it's been good. It's been good to get the positive feedback.
Anything to make the job easier, Brownie. You know, if you don't have to steer them around a corner, it's got to be a positive.
Are they happy to take a cut in their pay because of that?
Knowing jockeys, I doubt it, boys.
Now, it's a big day, as I mentioned, on course, off course, either sides of the fence. But can you give us any indication or an idea of how much food and drink is required to actually service a day such as tomorrow?
Plenty. I think there's a team of about 30 to 35 chefs that'll work across the board on Saturday. I think there's 250 kilos of prawns and about 500 lobsters that'll go around tomorrow. And that's just for the barrier boys after the last race. So,
gee, they live it up, don't they, on the Gold Coast?
Gee, you look after them well there on the Gold Coast.
We do try to look after them. But no, they there'll be plenty of food and drink. So the chef and the cellarman assure me that we won't run out and that the beer will be cold, which will be the main thing.
All right, so what will the boys behind the barriers be drinking during the day? Or maybe after the last?
Waters during the day, and then I think it's just 4X Gold afterwards.
All right, and what I'm guessing is a fair bit of champagne.
Provided they load them all and get them away on time.
That's right. They do the job right, they'll get rewarded.
Yeah, that's right.
Fair bit of champagne to be drunk?
Yeah, mate. We in the restaurants, we serve the guests Dom Perignon, so we've got 250 bottles of that that'll go around tomorrow, and I think it's about 1,500 or 2,000 bottles of Veuve and Moët that'll be drunk tomorrow. So
wow.
Plenty of bubbles are being popped.
And beer, still the most popular drink going around in weather like this, surely.
Well, I haven't got the numbers for the Forex Gold, but the boys tell me there'll be 6,000 cans of Byron Bay drunk tomorrow.
Wow, there you go. And that's just after the last for the Barrier Boys.
How good is that?
Again.
Now, if people want to go tomorrow, general admission, what else is available?
Just the general admission. We're sold out across the track with the corporates and the restaurants. Mm-hmm. So it'll be just GA. And look, if the sun pokes its head out early in the morning, we expect that it'll be a really good roll up. So looking forward to it. We know the track's going to play well,
yep.
Provided we don't get a massive bucket of rain overnight. But the forecast doesn't indicate that's going to be the case. So the fields have really stood up. So we're looking forward to a really good race day.
Have you got a tip for us?
I don't, unfortunately. I do like Highness in the 2-year-old day.
Do you? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was well overs at the Calcutta last night. I think they paid $55,000 for it to win $137,000.
Nice. Nice.
At the current, I think it's $6 in the market at the moment. So someone liked it last night.
And, I've spoken to a couple of people who are close to Tommy Berry, and they all said that he thinks it can win. So there's no shortage of confidence coming out of that camp.
He did say on stage last night at the Calcutta that the Winkers certainly helped with the trial.
Okay, and it won the trial by over 2 lengths. Very impressive.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Brownie. I hope it's a fantastic day tomorrow. I'm sure it will be, as it is each and every year. We just need the weather to do the right thing.
That's right. Thanks, gents.
No worries. Thanks, Ian Brown, joining us from the Gold Coast Turf Club. Does a fantastic job down there. Has done for quite some time, Sammy.
Yes, super job. He's a good man. And tell you what, they're going to have a ripper day there tomorrow. And there's plenty of ink to be drunk, it sounds like.
It certainly is. And didn't even have the Forex Gold number. So you can add a fair few of those because that is most of the Queenslanders' beer of choice, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
Even I'm a gold drinker.
Yeah, well, it's pretty good, the gold. Got any tips?
Yeah, I have. I tell you what. I like Sofrato, race 9, number 1, Sofrato.
For Rexy Lip?
I think he's a good horse, this horse.
And, he is.
That was a good win last time around. I think he's good value. I saw him this morning, I reckon, $8 or $7.50, something like that.
Well, it's an open race, that one.
It
really is.
It was a very good win in the Vaux Rogue. So, I'm keen on him. And Chriso, another one at 50-1.
Oh.
At 50-1 tomorrow. Why is he these odds?
Who?
You know he's one of my favourites. Race 10, actually, number 15, RNT.
Actually, speaking of your favourites.
50-1.
Did you see Winston Smurfield the other day?
Yes. Yes.
Buck jumping out of the gates.
He's a rat bag.
He is a rat bag. And I tell you what, he's not too trustworthy. Were you on him?
Well, no. I wasn't actually, but it is amazing that a horse, you know, who's had a good bit of racing under his belt, he still tries it on like that. I like his spirit.
Yeah,
like
you wouldn't if you had money on him, you wouldn't like his spirit too much.
But RNT, I know he's been a bit disappointing first up, second up. Barrier
yes,
he's three,
a horse of yours. Good Your game. Stable.
My stable. Your Chris stable. Mark, great trainer.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he's over the odds, Chriso. Over the odds. $51. What?
All right, well, I'm going to go with Storm Boy, the favourite in the Magic Millions. I think he just romps in, to be honest. And I'm going to go with Rothfire, race 4, number 1.
Wow.
I know Rothfire, race 4, number 1, and Prince of Boom, race 6, number 1. I know they've both drawn bad gates, but they can get across, and the price you're getting, I think, is fair. I mean, you wouldn't be taking $2 about them, but the price that's available, I think, is fair. So I'll go with those two as being good bets as well. So hopefully a good day for Robbie Heathcote. Couple for Rose Hill tomorrow. Race 6, number 8, Louisville can finally win. Race 7, number 12, Naval College can win again. And race 10, number 2, Test Data Silence. I don't know what that name means, but I think he can win the last race. Test Data Silence. South Australian racing tips. Murray Bridge tomorrow. Race 1, number 4, Bonnie Gangster for the win. Race 5, number 13, Baby Alex each way. Race 6, number 2, Tap In for Par each way. And race 9, number 10, Myrtle Creek each way. And that, of course, is South Australian Racing Tips on Twitter, or X as they call it these days, Sam, at South_Tips.
And what about Nowra on Sunday, race 5, number 5, Merchant Speed? It will win. Put your house on it.
Mm. Are you doing trackside on Sunday?
No, I'm not.
Well, why'd you pull that out then?
I just know. I just,
there's something going on there.
Look, I just reckon it'll win. I reckon it'll win. Doesn't matter where it is. The colour of the money is all the same, Chris.
Very true. I just wonder why you're not working Sunday. You'd be looking at narrower races. But anyway, that's a question for another day. Thanks for joining us. Great to be back for 2024 on the Punters, mate. Have a great Magic Millions Day. Hope everyone has plenty of winners. I hope the weather does the right thing, Sam. And if it does, I think the class horses will come to the fore, the Gold Coast, tomorrow. So hopefully that's the case. Punters, thanks for joining us. Many winners. Sammy,
enjoy. Good to be back.
Good to be back, isn't it?
Let's have a big 2024, Chris.
Let's go.